There is an island in the south of Mexico, just south of Mexico City, called Isla de las Muñecas, the island of the dolls. It's a man-made island turned tourist attraction for its haunting scenery and disturbing history. An island with trees covered in hundreds of old, dirty, broken baby dolls. And it started with one doll hanging in a single tree. A doll that washed up shortly after the groundskeeper found a little girl drowned in the canal nearly 70 years ago. He thought it must have belonged to the little girl, so he hung it up there to appease her spirit. But they say he went mad. He claimed the spirit of the little girl was haunting him, demanding more dolls for more lost spirits. He'd buy them in town by the tens, accepting donations. People even started visiting the island with the gift of new dolls to hang in the trees. Over the course of his 50-year-long obsession, he amassed the many dolls adorning the island today. Until one day, they found him drowned in the very same location he found that little girl. Apparently, the locals maintained the island in his memory, viewing what he did as a kindness to the dead and to that little girl. To this day, visitors often still bring new dolls for the trees, though most of them only show up to see the real face of the old ghost story. That's all it was for me, anyway. I never believed in ghosts, but there's no other way I can think to explain what I'm looking at right now. I had already been in Mexico City for a year before it happened, having freed myself from my rat bastard of a husband. After 10 years of bloody bruises and broken bones, 10 years of him sleeping off his drunken rage in a jail cell, only to repeat the cycle another day, I'd had enough. He was a cop, and the sheriff's department in our county was a good old boys kind of club. They protected their own. And he would never do any real time. There would be no justice for my pain. So, I faked my own death, framed him for murder, and left him to reap the consequences. Even they couldn't cover for him then. A tuft of hair here, a spritz of blood there, and one final important detail to put him away for life. I heard he'd been arrested only a couple of days after my disappearance. For the following 6 months, I kept my ear to the ground, listening for news on the proceedings of his trial. And then, one night in some hole-in-the-wall bar in Juarez, I saw the announcement on an AJC web article. Guilty. 2 counts of murder in the first degree. I smiled to myself as I watched them carry him away, pleading his innocence into the press microphone shoved in his face. I'd never do this. I loved her. She was my princess. Oh, the wine tasted extra sweet that night. It was the first night of the rest of my life. I'd spent 8 of the 10 years of our marriage putting away cash, just a little at a time, without telling the bastard. I didn't know why, really. I did it even while I was still telling myself that he would change. We'd have a baby one day, I thought, and he'd be a more caring man for it. And still, without knowing how wrong I was, I put away $50, $25, $75, whatever was available, whatever I could spare. And I never said a word. This was what it was for. A fresh start, a new chance at a life I deserved. I would leave my old name, my old life, back in the States where everyone thought it ended. I'd make a new name and a new life for myself here. See the sights, enjoy my freedom, and then maybe find work? Maybe find a hot guy? Someone who deserves me, and make my own paradise. That was the plan, and it was off to such a smooth start, too. I made it a point to see things I would have never seen while chained down in that marriage. The temple of Chichen Itza, El Malecón at Puerto Vallarta, the beautiful city of San Miguel de Allende, the sandy beaches of Zipolite, and of course, the tranquil canals of Xochimilco. It was there that I came upon the island of the dolls. I went with a friend I met in Cancun, some eccentric college sophomore on spring break, who preferred seeing the sights to party hopping. The plan was just to spend the afternoon riding the canal and taking in the flowers, maybe even in the night with a few margaritas. But on a whim, she suggested we stop there while we were in the area. She said it was interesting, if creepy. A neat little thrill, she called it. The island looked like something out of a horror film. A bit smaller than one might think from the description, but definitely enough to be disturbing. As the guide gave us her scripted explanation of the island's history, most just stared in awe. Some swore the eyes and the heads were following them as they walked by. Some thought they heard whispers. And my friend just spent the trip giggling at their remarks. Apparently, this was the typical reaction. I admit, okay, it was amusing. Until I started hearing the whispers for myself. Indistinct at first, just distant, wordless chattering. But it was enough to make the hair on the back of my neck stand on end, and then I saw it. A certain doll, just a few meters out in the gnarled brush, looking as old, tattered, and mangled as the others, as if it had been laying there for decades. A very particular doll. A slightly mismatched little thing with a stuffed body and an old baby doll head with different colored eyes, red pigtails, and a little primrose dress. I hadn't really looked at it in over 3 years, but I recognized it immediately. It was one of a kind, and it couldn't have been there. I had made it myself, pieced it together with my own hands from hobby store cloth and stuffing and parts of old dolls that I had owned as a little girl. It was meant to be a gift from the heart, and I left it behind with the rest of my old life. Yet, there it was, right down to the personalized patch I stitched to the back of the dress. Mommy loves you, Angie. I sat there in the grass in disbelief, holding the doll with tears streaming down my face as the tour slowly moved past me. I could hear my friend trying to say something to me, but her voice was muffled by the panicked ringing in my ears, and the only word that could escape my mouth was no. Over and over again. No, this isn't happening. No, I don't want to remember this. No, what have I done? I began to hyperventilate, clutching my chest as I felt my heart climbing into my throat. The world went black, and I awoke in the dead of night, alone and far from the tour's predetermined trail. In fact, I wasn't even sure if it was the same island at all. The place didn't seem so big, yet I found myself sitting on the floor of a vast, dense forest of trees, covered in broken dolls as far as the eye could see, all staring at me, accusing me, laughing at me, and their taunting chuckles carried true in the stillness of the night.
Why did you do it?
A question in a voice as familiar as the doll in my hand, and it seemed to come from every direction. I was speechless, terrified. I looked around for any signs of the tour group or for the boat we arrived on, but to no avail. Confusion gripped me and a flood of questions entered my mind. Where am I? How did I get here? I remembered passing out on the trail, but why didn't anyone help me? How could they just abandon me?
Why did you do it?
That same question, louder this time, closer and angry, hissing through the pull-string voice boxes of countless dolls, more than I could see. I moved my lips to answer, but no words came out. Part of my mind didn't understand what they meant, the part that believed that this was just a nightmare, but the other part understood perfectly. And that part of me hesitated. The voices didn't like that. Before I could speak a single word, I heard a clattering from the tall grass quickly approaching my feet, and before I saw their faces, I felt their tiny hands clutching at the hem of my dress.
I shrieked in horror as they emerged, scaling my clothing one tiny handful at a time. Demented little imps of wood and plastic, staring through soulless eyes and empty sockets, squealing their anger and malice through the discordant whirring hums of borrowed cries and giggles from babies long since grown or dead. Dozens of them, some the size of newborns, some no longer or larger than my thumb, and all of them ferocious. I kicked, brushed, and threw them off of me as I ran without clear direction. Reduced to tears, I stumbled over my feet more than once. There was no time to stop and catch my breath, let alone question what I was seeing. I could see them clambering down from the trees and hear them leaping from branch to branch above my head. I could hear their broken laughter growing closer. I had to escape. I could only pray to see a clearing and that I wasn't running deeper into the woods. My heart skipped a beat when I saw the first glimmers of moonlight through the trees, and it sank now that I've seen what lay beyond. A quiet beach, littered in parts of broken dolls, up to and floating on the surface of the water, all the way to the horizon. Not the canal, but a vast and endless sea, and right at the shore, with waves lapping at her ankles, she stands just as I remember her in her last moments, hair drenched and shivering in her sopping wet My Little Pony pajamas, holding the doll that I had made for her.
"Why, Mommy?"
Her eyes reflect heartbreak and betrayal, and I don't know what to tell her. How do I explain the suffering her father inflicted upon me? How desperate I was to be free of him. How could she possibly understand the way I lost my love for her when I saw her father in her face more than I saw myself? How can I tell her I felt nothing as I held her down in that bathwater and watched the life leave her eyes? And now, how can I not cry, remembering what I've done to her? The tears came before I noticed, as I stand here now, remembering that I never even touched her after she died. She didn't know the touch of her mother in death, only the unfeeling embrace of rubber gloves as I saw fit to leave no trace of my presence. God help me. I killed my baby girl and she'll never know why. She has turned her back to me. She walks out to sea and I chase her. I call out to her, telling her I love her, begging her for forgiveness, but she ignores me as her head sinks beneath the waves. I dive in after her. I can see her face now, smiling at me as it sinks beneath the murk. I swim deeper. My breath grows shallow, but I don't care. I watch the moonlight above fade away into darkness as I reach out, deeper and deeper still, hoping to feel her one last time.